let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. What the mind sees, the body feels, creates, and attracts by Leah Marmula is an introduction of how our deeper, hidden thoughts create our life, often without us knowing. Leah says what we need to do now more than ever is learn the language our body is using to talk with us, transform our heavy limiting beliefs and emotions into love and light. Leah is an integrated change therapist with qualifications in dietetics, nutrition, working towards functional nutrition in the coming years. Her tagline is Reclaim Me. Heal, learn, and forgive so you can create your life on your own terms. Leah Marmula is the author of What the Mind Sees, the Body Feels, Creates, and Attracts, and she's our guest from Australia on This Week in America. Leah, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
No, thank you, Rick. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. This is such an important book and so many important topics we'll be talking about during the course of the program. Mm. I want to start with the basics here. Where did you get this interest for combining the mind-body interactions? Where did that come from?
Okay, so this has been floating around for quite a few years. I hit a wall about 20 years ago, and that started the journey. And for me to basically get healthier, mentally healthier, I needed to learn different skills, different understandings, different insights. So the book has come from literally my experiences of change, and the body aspect is because I just love how the body works. It's just so fascinating. And then bringing the two together and reading, you know, all the gurus in the field, and just knowing that there's a better way of actually making a bigger difference in the world and the body. So that's how the book has come about.
Well, talk about the decision to write the book. Why and when did you decide, I need to write this book? And the book is very broad in topics. It really covers a lot of area, doesn't
it? It does. Why was the book? Because I was told to write it. Because I work fairly intuitively, it's just like, just have to do it. So I was sitting at the computer for about 3 years, and I had an opening in space, like time. I moved out west into the middle of the desert almost. So there was very little to do, very little structured work. I was just like, okay, now's the time to edit, get it out there. And the little voice in the back of my head that tells me when I have to do things, just kind of say, you got to do it, you got to do it. So I did it. I just sat down pretty much nonstop and just polished it off, sent it off, got it printed, and it's just been slowly avalanching since then.
The book we're talking about is What the Mind Sees, the Body Feels, Creates, and Attracts by our guest Leah Marmula, and that's Leah, L-E-A-H, and Marmula, M-A-R-M-U-L-L-A. If you Google it, there's no reason to, because if you go to our website, you can link on directly to Amazon, to matchliterary.com. And Leah's website is stepstochange.com.au. We'll give you that throughout the program. What has your personal change been like following the techniques you list and you describe in your book? Because this was what a roadmap for you that actually worked for you and produced results.
Pretty much, definitely. So the big difference, I used to be really, really scared, like anxiety, depression was a big part. After my children, I had postnatal depression. Going then through, the divorce was easy, but losing custody of the children was the game changer. So coming from a state of depression, suicidal thoughts, to now owning my own business, you know, getting the books done, having to promote it and coming out of my shell, that's the biggest difference. Is literally from being a scaredy cat, like a snail in the shell, to saying, okay, I can do this. You know, I'm actually talking on international media at the moment.
Yes.
That would not have happened, seriously. I just would have said, no, I'm not going to gain. And to invest the money, invest the time, and then talk to clients and show them that it is possible. And then the results that I'm hearing back, the feedback is just phenomenal. So that's the benefit. That's the beauty of it.
So this really has been a growing experience for you, if I understand what you're saying, not only in writing the book, but now getting in front of a camera, in front of a microphone, and actually talking about it and putting you behind the name. We read the name, that's one thing. To see the actual person is another. So I'm assuming this has been a growing experience for you as well.
Hugely, hugely. I was at uni, always one sitting around at the back. I'd ask questions, but they were so abstract questions because I'm a thinker. I'm an analyst. I think right out here, and I love making links and bringing things together. And that's another skill, that I can make complex ideas come simple for people who are not familiar with these types of thoughts to understand. And that it's for life, it's actually quite amazing. I'm actually able to praise myself now too, which I never used to be able to do. That's another huge change.
But yes.
Because we need to understand there is a different way. And it's such a foreign concept to so many different people that to be able to bring it down to lay terms and go, it is possible and this is how it actually works. So from the physiological, the biochemical changes in the body, because often people need to understand that before they trust the process. They need science to be able to have that leap of faith. So I'm able to help them understand that.
You know, it's interesting as you read the book, What the Mind Sees, the Body Feels, Creates, and Attracts by Leah Marmulla, our guest on the program today, is the role of food. And talk about that, the impact it has on the body state, the emotions, for example.
It's amazing. And this is what I also had to go through this myself. I developed quite a few food intolerances through an extremely stressful time. And I became allergic to cow's milk protein, so not the sugar, like most people think, the lactose, the actual protein. And my dad is celiac. He was diagnosed late in life, so I was intolerant to gluten, which is the wheat products, the rye, the barley, oats, and wheat. So growing up, I had all these food intolerances that I wasn't aware of. And then when my body crumbled, between the postnatal depression and serious depression, suicidal thoughts, I had to, and I actually got to a point where I couldn't walk. There was a joint in my back that just literally froze and I couldn't walk. So I had to then work out what food were the triggers, and then the emotional realizations came after that. So after I took out the food, the trigger foods, and my mind started to get clearer, I'll go, oh, this is fascinating. Then I went into more research, and particularly chemicals that are naturally found in food, particularly amines and glutamates, do change neurotransmitter production. And it's these neurotransmitters, the dopamine, serotonin, melatonin in particular, do change mind states. So depression, anxiety, rage, anger can also be triggered by the foods that we eat if we're not breaking them down properly. So it is absolutely fascinating to think we can change food and actually change our mind at the same time.
And interesting that some people could be suffering out there. And the last thing they probably think about is their diet and the food, and you're saying that's a primary cause for a lot of these problems.
Yes, like even inflammation, because all food has to travel through the digestive system. And if the gut itself isn't coping, whether it's the integrity isn't there or it's inflamed, then it's inflammation that talks the immune system and also the neurons, so the nervous system in the gut, that then directly feeds back to the brain, changes the immune function, which is the respiratory, skin issues, you know, heart conditions, systemic inflammation, arthritis. There's a whole list of diseases that are linked to inflammation, and inflammation can be triggered by the food that we eat. So it's a twofold, the chemicals plus the body response that can trigger mind state, body symptoms.
It's interesting as you read how we develop our beliefs, where beliefs actually come from. Can you explain more about how beliefs and vows and self-statements are created in our life?
So our beliefs are basically how we interpret our life. So from an infant, and we've done some readings and things, people have recalled incidences from being in the womb. And some people go before that, like I've done past life regressions or relations to previous times. And it's the way we interpret what's going on. So it's the subtle messages from parents or schools or adults, you know, the culture. We do it like this. We don't do it like that. So it's the subtleness. And then the brain, because the subconscious goes into the subconscious, it puts things into links, makes assumptions, makes up a story, and that's how we start living our life. We base our life on stories that we make. Does this feel right? Does it make sense? Yes, no. And then the conscious brain goes through those pathways. That's the logical explanation why my life is going really well or it's not, or what that person said, it must mean that, or this situation represents that. So our beliefs control everything at the end of the day.
Now, it's interesting because we've talked about food, and there's much more, certainly much more in the book, Leah's book, What the Mind Sees, the Body Feels, Creates, and Attracts. Talking about beliefs, talk about the role of beliefs in changing our body function, lifestyle, behavior choices. Is there a connection between those?
Absolutely, because our belief, it dictates our feelings. So if we don't like ourselves, then we're less likely to do healthy choices. We're less likely to, you know, go to the exercise or go to the park even or socialize healthily. We're more inclined when we're feeling low or bad or depressed to eat junky food or drink alcohol or other drugs or mind-numbing experiences, so we don't get to feel the pain or the discomfort why we're actually depressed. So if we're having more loving self-thoughts, we're more inclined to actually care for ourselves and make choices that support health and well-being. So it's a bit of a two-edged sword. And sometimes it's really a challenge to change our thought process and then look at the belief that's driving it. And that's where the magic really happens. If we get to the belief, change it, let it go and actually heal the past emotional attachment to it, then life just changes. And I'm a testament, and there's so many other people who are as well.
You know, it's interesting. So with our beliefs, what we probably don't realize it, but many of this goes back to what our parents' DNA even goes back to childhood. Yes. I mean, you've got to go back, if you're in my age bracket, decades to find out the source for your problems.
Yeah. And, you know, generational change is shown, you know, the beliefs from those who experienced the Holocaust, you know, the children who went to the camps, for instance, they created beliefs around so many different things, you know, poverty, starvation, authority, and then just by the way as they've grown up in, you know, in the free countries in America and in other parts of Europe and Australia, their beliefs were still playing out, and then that teaches the children. From the DNA point of view, this is another really fascinating part. The DNA, the coding is pretty much set when the two parents come together, you know, during intercourse and conception. However, the genes only open and close in response to the chemical environment in which they're in. So if the mother is particularly stressed or nutrient deprived, or there's other chemicals floating around in the body at the time that the fetus is growing, then we know it can actually preset their genetic predistribution. So the child that's born and then growing up, it's like it has a pre-timed or pre-established body chemistry and then thoughts that go with that. And then it gets the environmental context and the parental, the family, siblings, going to school, and then peer pressure and all that sort of plays in, and we create different adults from the previous generation.
So if somebody says it's in my DNA, or if they say that's not in my DNA, and in many cases they're laughing when they say that, actually that could be the case, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So when we have characteristics that we find challenging in another person, it very much could be, like we look at autism or Asperger's or anyone on the spectrum, for instance, you know, those who are bipolar, schizophrenic, mental conditions that are really deeply ingrained. We need to start to question, is it a DNA issue? Has it been passed from generation to generation, not on the true genetics course, or is it ingrained from a chemical point of view and there's imbalances relating to the environmental, the food, you know, how they were encouraged as children? Were they loved, accepted, you know, and the best parts brought out, or were they dominated and almost emotionally abused unintentionally, because no parent really wants to abuse their children, but just from lack of skill and understanding of the parent on how to do things, it sort of just gets more ingrained. And I think we can say, I know within my own family line, like there's patterns, and I can see that. And it's scary, it's confronting, and you think, okay, the buck has to stop somewhere, and I chose to be the buck stopper. It's just like, no, I'm going to be the difference. I'm going to try and teach my children a way that's different too.
With us on This Week in America, from Australia, is Leah Marmula. The book we're talking about is What the Mind Sees, the Body Feels, Creates, and Attracts. The book is available at matchliterary.com. You'll find it at Amazon. Leah's website is steps to change.com. thisweekinamerica.com.au. She is in Australia, and you can link on to all of these by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. For people that are listening and maybe thinking, okay, it took me 50 years to get where I am, I'm not real satisfied with it, I'd like to spend a week or two to maybe make some major changes. What do you tell them? What's the fastest, the most effective way to find change and to possibly move to a life that we choose and do it in a quick way?
The quickest way that I've found, and this is from practicing so many different modalities, and I must say the rapid transformational therapy has been the fastest, the most cleanest, and the deepest transformation that I've experienced. And I've trained in that, so that's the other reason why I suppose I'm promoting, because I can actually help a person go through it. There is no real quick fix, though, because there's just so many different layers. And if you can imagine onion, you know, we have the core stalk and then we have the different layers of the onion. We can't often, like in cooking, we can't just chop it up into small pieces and then put it where we want it to go. It is a process and it needs to be done very gently and lots of self-compassion and lots of self-care, simply because once we start to, in a sense, disrupt this, then the bigger emotions have a space to fall into or grow into. So it can be sometimes really confronting and we need to do it with care. But seriously, the rapid transformational therapy that Marissa Peer actually developed, many people are familiar with her work, it is, from my experience so far, very, very clean, deep and thorough. And the other modalities is EFT, which are the tapping, you know, where you get to acupuncture points, kinesiology, looking at your diet is really, really important. Gentle exercise, nothing too hard or too painful. So Pilates, you know, yoga, walking, swimming, where you're activating all the muscles and getting the energy flowing through. And if you look at the eastern, you know, the chakra system, meridian lines, helping the energy flow through that too, it does make a big difference.
All of this in Leah's book, What the Mind Sees, the Body Feels, Creates, and Attracts. A couple minutes left in the program. I mentioned Reclaim Me at the beginning. We'd like to talk about that here at the end. What does that mean and represent? How did you come up with that?
Well, I had to reclaim myself. Like when I was growing up, I was very intuitive and I had a different way of thinking. I did lose that. I was going through my 20s and it was just like after the divorce, I had to come back to who I really was. And so the Reclaim Me is really about helping people say, I am maybe a little bit lost. I've learnt things along the way that I'm not happy with. I don't like the way I'm living my life. It's not really authentic to me anymore. And I want to come back to myself. I want to be happier. I want to be playful, to be relaxed, to have more confidence, to be able to relate to people in a different way. I just want to be more authentic in what's important to me instead of listening to everyone else in the environment. So that's where the name came from. And then the tagline is really like, to be able to come back, we need to let go. We need to let go of the things that are stopping us, the limiting beliefs, our fears, and just refind again, you know, the confidence that we had as little children. You know, they're fearless. Babies, they don't care. They just get on with life. And then at some stage along the way, they hear things or they're smacked or they're punished because when they're not conforming to what the environment wants them to be, maybe they're too noisy, maybe they are too playful. And so we learn, oh, I can't do that, I can't do this. And we start to get lost, even from a very young age. So it's about just coming back, basically.
And for some people, I'm sure you have to do this multiple times. You think you've done it and you get caught up in society and all of the negative influences and messages out there. And suddenly you realize, I need to reset and to reclaim me. I need to get back to who I am. A minute or so left in the program. If you had one key point to leave with the listeners on the program, what would it be? One key that will maybe unlock this whole mystery that they're confronting to try to be able to reclaim themselves. What's the one message?
I think the biggest thing to remember is actually you're not at fault. You're not to blame, and it's not about you failing. It's really about what you've needed to do over time to keep yourself safe or to keep yourself functioning in the environment that you've been living in. And we all do it. You know, I don't think I've ever met a person who was able to be so true to themselves for all stages of life and go, well, this is who I am, just bugger off. You know, if you don't like me, leave it. So to come back and say, I am okay. And yes, I've learned things along the way, but it was appropriate in that moment. So there's taking a lot of judgment and guilt out of your past. And just see it for what it was. It was you just doing the best you could with the resources you had and the wisdom that you had at the time. And that's really it.
From your standpoint, is this sort of an automatic way of life now? Or do you find yourself at times, you have to reclaim me? You have to go back and go, wait a minute, I don't care what that person says. And sort of get back to ground zero for maybe an hour or so to balance yourself again.
I do find there's still circles,
yes,
but the circles don't. The dip isn't as low, and that's the thing. And even like I had a major incident last week where my confidence was really tested, and I just went through the same skills and allowed myself to wallow, to feel everything. And I didn't lose myself. Normally I would have really, really, really dumped and really, thought horrible thoughts, you know, being very vindictive, blaming other people. And this time it's just like, no, it's just really bad timing. It's just really, really unfortunate what happened. And I'm not really a bad person. It was lots of misunderstandings that I could own and I contributed to, but I didn't want to kill myself. I didn't want to, you know, be vindictive. I didn't want to name names. I didn't want to do that, which I would have done, say, 10, 15 years ago. You know, it's just gently going through the cycles again, just like the waves come in and the waves go out.
Right.
It is just life.
Well, a fascinating conversation. Wish we had more time. Mm. Leah Marmula is our guest on the program. That's L-E-A-H. Marmulla. We're in a Google society, so if you want to Google that, I'll give you all the letters so that you can do that. The book is What Your Mind Sees, the Body Feels, Creates, and Attracts. Websites, you can find the book at matchliterary.com. You'll find it, of course, at Amazon. Leah's website is stepstochange.com.au. A lot of great information there as well. Coming to us from Australia, where it's breakfast time by the water over there. And I appreciate you taking the time to be with us on the program today. Leah, this has been fun. I think you've led a lot of people who have questions in the right direction. Book is certainly doing that. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
No, thank you. Seriously, it was fun. And it's something I enjoy doing. So who knows what the next step's going to be?
Well, it's amazing because you're very good at it, writing it and talking about it. The book is What the Mind Sees, the Body Feels, Creates, and Attracts. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.